serious. No, 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 no.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI. Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
May be seated in the presence of the Lord. Give him a hand of praise, if you will. I want to revisit for a while tonight a text that I have not exhausted, and I want to revisit it because it is still very relevant, very necessary. Most of us experience defeat not because of what someone else does to us, not because of what someone else says to us or about us, but because of what we do with our own mouth. We are blessed or burdened, we are broken or beaten by what we say with our own mouths. Doors are closed or open, ways are made by what we speak out of our own mouths. And so again tonight, I want us to look at the power of the spoken word. Say the power of the spoken word. Now, this is important because again, as you see through scripture that we're going to go through tonight, we're going to move a little fast, so I want you to get your paper and pens together so you can jot down some of these scriptures and notes. The power of words to create. The words we speak can create life or death around us. No one on earth understood the power of a single word like King Solomon. He collected 3,000 proverbs and wrote 1,005 songs. Solomon also understood the effect that words have on others. Now, when you say a word, don't think that just because you say it that you're the only one that benefits or is burdened by those words. Let's turn to 1 Kings, if you will. 1 Kings chapter 5. 1 Kings chapter 5 verse 4 says, "But now the Lord my God hath given me rest," and that word rest means peace. on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil opponent. Now listen at this. Solomon is speaking here, and Solomon has recorded that God has given him peace. And he says that he has peace on every side, or peace in every area of his life. Now, not many of us can say that we've got peace in every area of our lives. But it should be the recommendation of the word that you have peace in every area of your life. God is the one who grants this peace or rest in every area of your life. And he says that also in the scripture that there is neither adversary, no enemy, nor evil occurrent. And that's important, because when we see what he's talking about here, he makes very clear that in his own life there's not even an evil misfortune that can come his way because of the peace and because of the rest that God has given to him underneath the skin. Now, what's important about this is this. Again, things could be so good in your life and you'd be the one to mess them up. Notice what he did not say. This is too good to be true, like I say sometimes. I'm expecting an enemy to rise up at any time against me. Now, we say these kind of things and don't realize what we're saying when we speak the things. Now, God has just given him rest where? On every side. There is not a place, there is not peace in his life. God has just taken the liberty to bless him on every side, in every area, in his finances, in his health, on his job, in his family. Every area of his life, God has given him a peace that passeth all understanding. And yet he never says this is too good to be true. Something else, he did not discuss his doubts with everyone. Now, no matter how saved and sanctified you are, you're going to have doubts and issues that come up when you reach a place where you're going in unfamiliar territory, when you are reaching out to new places, going to new levels. You've not been there before. Things are going to look different. You're not comfortable. But you got to be careful not to discuss your doubts with everybody, because while discussing your doubts, sometimes they can come out not as doubts, but come out rather as deterrents to your faith. In other words, you can be your own worst enemy. And so when you begin to discuss them, you release them from your mouth, you release them from your mouth, your ears hear them, it goes back in, reinforces your fears because you're speaking them. Now, can I say that you're not supposed to speak or deal with those issues that you have dealt with? No, of course you are, but it's the manner in how you handle them, and be careful that you don't discuss your doubts with somebody who's going to take the same doubts that you have issues with and feed upon them, or make them worse by introducing more doubts. You know, you've got to be, so if you've got to know that the person you share your doubts with, number one, is either stronger than you in faith or one who can support you in your faith. Because then when you start saying, no, I can't, say, no, wait a minute, you can handle this. You know, I've seen your walk with God. I know your prayer life, or I'm praying with you. I'm standing in the gap with you. You're going to make, you need somebody who can dispel your doubts when you release them. Not somebody who will say, well, no, you know, you're right. Because you know, when brother so-and-so had that surgery, he died. You don't need nobody like that talking. You know what? So again, he didn't discuss it. Next thing is, his words did not inject the atmosphere and climate with fear of anticipated distraction and loss. In other words, sometime in your situation, you're going to be around doubtful people. You're going to be around some people who can't see the end from the beginning. You're going to be around some people who are filled with negativity and filled with hurt and filled with disillusionment. And in their conversation, they're talking that around you. But you don't have to pick up on what they are feeling. You don't have to interject what they are saying into your thought patterns or processes. You got to realize your level of faith may be in a whole different place than from the persons who are talking these kind of things around you. And so you got to learn, if they're talking negative, don't you talk negative. If they're saying it's not going to work, don't you say it's not going to work. In spite of what they're saying, you've got to learn how to focus on the facts. What are the facts? What God said in his word. If God said it, that's what matters. Let's look again. Solomon continuously painted the portrait of peace and prosperity with his words. Now listen at this, and I want you to get this concept, painting pictures of peace and prosperity. You know, the way you see a thing is so very important. The way that you perceive a thing is so very important. Why is this important? It's important because when you understand how all that happens to you is directly related to you and connected with you, so you ought to be concerned about how you view a thing, how you see it. Is the glass half empty or is it half full? You've got to see when you're stuck in a rut, in a situation where it seems like you can't get out, that this is temporary, that this is not my destiny, that this is a ditch on the way to my destiny, and I'm going to get out of here. You've got to see the situation different from the way that it is. Those who came into Solomon's presence heard comforting, encouraging, uplifting words. That is precisely why people came from everywhere to speak with him. Their own fears, unbelief, and anxiety had poisoned their lives. They craved to be in the presence of someone who could see a great future. Now, you know, when you're with the right people who are spirit-filled and know God and know how God moves and how, you want to be around people like that who can speak positively in your life. Now listen, when you've talked enough negativity, you need to get around some positive folk who can speak positive things in your life. And this is one of the reasons why they wanted to be around Solomon, because he had that ability to do that. Words create bridges. We talked about this before, to cross you from where you are to the other side of your experience. There are some things that we are in and where we are, there is a gulf or water or way that seems impassable, and bridges built over our situation, spoken with the words that we create. Remember, he created pictures, portraits of peace and prosperity. What you are is but a byproduct of what you think. What you do is but a byproduct, again, of what you think. How you're going to act, it all starts in the spiritual realm, the supernatural realm. It happens before it ever materializes. That's why you've got to see it right. If you can't envision, if you can't picture, if you can't see the situation getting better, 9 out of 10 times it won't. Let me take a moment and say that again. If you can't see yourself where you want to be, if you can't see your situation changing, if you can't see and paint, I mean, that's one of the privileges of being able to paint your own picture. You can make it like you want it. Not what somebody else wants for you, but what you want. Now, you're pretty sad and pitiful if you paint a dreary picture for yourself. I'm just going to tell you the truth. It ought to be the best blessed picture you can come up with in your mind. You ought to be on top the head, not the tail. You ought not have a tear in the world. If it's close to a tear, it ought to be a tear of joy. You ought to just paint the picture the way you really want to see God bring it to pass. Solomon did that. All right, you can also look at the fact that your words create exits. Just like you get into some stuff with your words, some stuff you need to get out with your words. And the same words that you speak, again, will create exits for you. Again, your words create transportation to transport you from the present to the future, from bad to good, from faith to faith. By how you speak what you desire, by how you minister to your own self. Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. There are going to be times when there won't be nobody patting you on the back. There are going to be times when nobody else sees your good deeds and your good works, see you going the extra effort. Nobody sees how much you sacrifice. There are some times you're going to have to learn, listen, I'm going to have to get out of this stink that I'm in, this depression the devil's trying to put me in. Nobody's celebrating me. All right. You're going to have to talk to yourself, because there is no one to talk to, and the ones who are talking, you don't want to hear. You can transport yourself out of the place where you might be experiencing some setbacks and some difficulties, et cetera, et cetera. That's the power of the spoken word. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10, if you don't mind. Look at this word, verse 8. And the word says, happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Now this word comes forth, what Solomon said made people happy. Now, let me qualify this to help you understand.
Solomon didn't talk trash. He wasn't cracking jokes and saying stuff just so folk could be standing around laughing at him. That's not the happy that they're talking about. They're talking about they took pleasure in his wisdom. I mean, no matter what he was talking about, those things he said made sense and gave to them, increased them, brought them to another level and place of understanding in their own minds. Anything that he was like the old commercial when E.F. Hutton speaks. Y'all heard that commercial then. That's the way Solomon was. I mean, and that's the way people enjoyed being around him. What you hear determines what you feel. Now, we've discussed this because it bothers me to think that you have a choice in where you go and who you're around and who you're with, and yet you choose to be in the company of folk who tolerate you rather than celebrate you. What you hear determines what you feel. How many times have you been feeling good and talked to the wrong person? And bam, I mean a crash. You were on top of the world. I was feeling all right. Thank God for ID caller. Y'all can play if you want to, but I'm serious. I mean, there are just some days I'm not equipped to deal with the foolishness. You know, when you got somebody who's always negative, no matter what you tell them, you give them the word, you try to build them up, and they still want to be down. Well, you remember the song of the world, it still applies to the truth of the word. I can't help you if you want to sleep on the ground. I can't help you if you don't want to do better. I'm not a magic worker. I know a miracle worker, but even that requires the participatory action of your own faith. And so if you don't want to do better, I can't waste my time with you. If you made up your mind, it's not going to get no better. Well, it ain't going to help. Okay, well, I tell you what. We're going to end this conference right here then, because ain't no sense me taking much more of your time, and ain't no sense you wasting more of my time if you telling me what I'm telling you ain't going to help you. Amen. If you don't believe you can get no better, then just don't even bother yourself no more about it. Listen, he knew that right words always bless people. He knew that. And right words, meaning proper words, are words that are words that are spoken in due season. They are the kind of words, and we'll see this a little later, they are the kind of words that will minister to the situation in earnestness. You know, there's a difference between telling folks stuff to tickle their ears, but it really ain't gonna help their heart or their situation. The right words will bless you even if you don't want to hear them. Now, you might not like them right now, but when you take heed to them, you're going to recognize the benefit, and you may not like, I shared earlier, it's like going to the dentist. You got a toothache, and you're going to the dentist. Now, the dentist is going to have to give you some more pain. Because he's going to stick a needle up in there, and he's going to deaden it, and, you know, going to go through some other stuff. Then he's going to have to take a drill and all that kind of stuff. But by the time it's over with, when you get rid of, you know, the issue that you had in your mouth, when the healing takes place, that kept you up at night, that bothered you during the day, that kept you from eating certain things, drinking certain things, all right, that won't be a bother anymore, and you're going to be blessed, even though what it took to get you there might not have been happy in that moment, but ultimately it blessed you in the end. Well, that's what truth does. It may not always sound good. It may not even feel good. But the truth and the end of the matter is going to be that it's going to do you good if you receive it. And Solomon was able to bless folk with right words. Right words wasn't telling them what they wanted to hear. Right words was telling them what was right for them to hear. Let's look at Proverbs 8 and 6. Now, one of the things, listen, just as we're turning here to Proverbs and talking about speaking the right things, you know, people that lie to you trying to make you feel good are some of the first folk you want to scratch off your list when you're ready to do better. I mean, because let's think about it. You know when stuff ain't coordinating, ain't acting right, don't look right, and you ask somebody that you think you'll get at least a halfway decent answer, and when you know they're lying to you, it's all in your spirit because you got a mirror too. Now, some of them may be sincere because they just ain't got no taste, no fashion, don't know. So that look good to them. Okay. See, those of you who are laughing, I don't care you ain't laughing because I'm probably talking about you, and I understand that. But the truth of the matter is, when you want some real opinion, you go to somebody who's going to be real and say, where you think you're going with that? I know you ain't about to leave. You want somebody who's going to be real, because if they say you're looking good, you're like, I know I can make it now because I passed the test, because they ain't going to bite their tongue. They're going to be real with you. Now, those are the kind of folk that you want, because, listen, it's one thing when other folk make a fool out of you. It's another thing when you make a fool out yourself. Amen, somebody. All right. Look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 6. It says, "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." Look again at what Proverbs 10 and 11 said. Proverbs 10 and 11 says this: "The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked." Listen at this. Pay attention to these words now. Proverbs 21 and 23. The word says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." Now, when you really look at it, it's your own lips and your own mouth that's got your soul hurting right now. Thank God your soul is anchored in the Lord. Because you give your soul more trouble than anybody else gives it. Now, look again, because I want you to see this word. It says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth." Now, nobody else can keep your mouth for you. Look at what the word says. "And his tongue," it says, "keepeth his soul from troubles." Now, I've shared before, I'll say again, how many times have you opened up your mouth? You knew before you opened up your mouth, you shouldn't have opened up your mouth, but you opened up your mouth and said some stuff that caused you, in a boomerang effect, some trouble that you really did not need. How many times you told something to somebody that you know you shouldn't have told them nothing, because you knew they were messing from the first place? Now, listen at this. You don't have to join in with everybody just because they talking trash. You don't have to. I mean, matter of fact, if there's somebody saying some things that are not right, you don't have to join in that kind of conversation and add your 2 cents in. Your 2 cents can cause you $2 worth of trouble. Some of you need to learn to keep your mouth shut. You are making trouble for yourself. Look again at what the word says. Right advice guarantees safety and protection. Proverbs 11, verse 14. Let's go back there, if you will. Proverbs 11 and 14. Now again, where no counsel is, the word says, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, right advice guarantees safety and protection. Listen again. If there is no counsel, this refers to some of us trying to reinvent the wheel. It don't make sense to reinvent the wheel. If something is working, if something is on the up and up, if there's someone you're trying to emulate, someone is where you want to go to, you need to connect with them, partner with them. You need to sow into them and their lives so that out of that, they can pour back into yours, mentor you, so that you don't have to go through all of the unnecessary stuff, all of the unnecessary struggles, waste all of the unnecessary time when you can get with somebody who can tell you about how things are. Don't try and be so prideful so you can say, "Well, nobody told me nothing. I learned all this on my own. Nobody helped me." Well, if you're in a situation where nobody wants to help you, that's another story. But when you can get help and choose not to ask because you're too prideful, then you will fall. That's what the Word of God says. You will fall. And usually it's because you're too prideful to ask somebody for their support, their insight, because you want to be able to brag, "I did this all by myself." And you did this all by yourself, that's why it looks like that. Because you did this all by yourself. That was some folk who could help you. But look, on the other hand now, it says something else. It talks about the other end of that being that in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, it again references the fact that there are a lot of people doing things the right way. And here's what you're going to know, that if you ask the people who are where you want to be, or on the way to where you want to go, or doing what you want to do, all of them are going to function by principles of success that are going to be the same. What may vary is their uniqueness or their twist on it. the personal and unique part that they add to the process, but the principles are the same. And you're going to discover that when you discuss or talk with all of these successful folk, there are going to be things that are the same in all of them. If it's the same, and here's what you need to know, if it's a principle, it's profitable regardless of who practices it. I said, if it's a principle, it's profitable regardless of who practices it. And so if it works for this person, and it worked for this person, and it works for that person, and all of them use the same principle, it's got to work for me as well. It's a principle. And that's just how things work. It's concrete and set. It's like giving directions. If the street names don't change, and the streets themselves don't change, then what got everybody else there will get you there if you learn how to follow them. And generally, when folk get lost, it's either because they didn't get right directions or they didn't follow the directions right. One of those two times, and you can always trace it back to that reality. Protect your mouth, words spoken, protect your life. Proverbs 13 and 3. Look at what this word says. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now, it's talking about the quality of life here. If you learn how to keep your mouth, you will have a qualitative kind of life, because what you don't realize is what you sow out of your mouth comes back a harvest. Let me say it again. What you speak out of your mouth comes back in your life a harvest. The same word as a seed that is released from your mouth germinates in the spirit realm. And what it does is it mimics the law of agriculture. And just like the seed in the ground takes and germinates and begins to bud and bloom and grow and blossom and all the rest of this, you get back from an apple seed a whole tree that produces multiple apples from one seed. Now, what you don't understand is that you might say some stuff today, and it might be years before it come back on you. And when it comes back on you, it ain't coming back one apple. It's coming back a whole tree. And so the quality of your life will then be affected by what you said. How many of us can look back over our lives and see there are some things we said we're still paying for today? Good or bad. Some things we've said in the past, we're paying for them now, or we're experiencing the fruit of the benefit from them now. Look again at what it goes on to say. It says, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Now look at who's causing the destruction. Self. Self. You know why some people don't like to be around you? Because of you. What you say. The old folk used to say, if you care a bone, a dog bring a bone, he'll care a bone. Not carry a bone, care. I mean, dog don't care, he bring it right here. You got some folk who talk trash just to hear you talk trash. Folk just want to get your commentary on the situation. Well, what you think about so-and-so? Well, I don't think nothing about it. I mean, just, it is what it is. I mean, we pray for him, we can, you know, let's try and counsel with the brother, whatever case. But what I think about it don't matter. Because then what I do is open my mouth up and condemn a situation many times I don't have the full information about. And beware, Mama used to say all the time, consider the source. You know, most folk don't bring you the whole story. They bring you a twisted story. A story that is contaminated many times with the infusion of their own opinions or judgments. And even when they tell it, you can tell by the way they're telling you how they feel about the situation. Prejudicing. You need to be careful about being a part of that. You need to protect your mouth so you protect your life. Because sometimes folk will say you said some stuff you didn't even say the way they say you said it. Those who talk too much destroy themselves, as what